Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Are you looking for more ways to go deeper into the Mass readings? Dr. John Bergsma offers reflections on the readings for every Sunday Mass in his book, The Word of the Lord. Visit stpaulcenter.com to learn more.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and Franciscan University of Steubenville. And here we are on Wednesday, September 8th, and it is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which preempts our normal weekday readings to observe this wonderful feast. This is the Christmas of Mary, so Marymas, if you will. It's the Mass of the birth of our Blessed Mother. What a wonderful feast day it is, too. And the readings are so beautiful. In our first reading, we have a famous prophecy from the prophet Micah. He says, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel." So the reading goes on, but I just want to stop there and comment on this aspect of the text, this idea that the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born. What is that talking about? Well, the prophet Micah is prophesying at a time when the kingdoms of Israel and Judah have only a short while to exist, and then the two kingdoms are going to be destroyed and exiled, the north by the Assyrian Empire and the south by the Babylonian Empire. The northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, are going to be scattered into exile. The southern tribe of Judah is going to be brought to Babylon. They're going to come back and rebuild, but they're going to enter into a time when they are not going to have national autonomy. They're not going to oftentimes have visible ethnic identity. They're going to be exiled and assimilated among foreign nations, and that's what's being referred to. He will give them up. How long will this giving them up last? Well, until the time when she who is to give birth has born. And of course, that's a prophecy of our Blessed Mother and her role in salvation history and her giving birth to Jesus, the Messiah. So this prophecy presents us with the birth of Christ as the end of the exile of the people of God, the end of the exile of Israel, the end of God giving his people over to the power of their enemies, and the beginning of the restoration of the people of Israel. And we see that in our Lord's ministry as well, in terms of him, for example, choosing 12 apostles. Why 12 apostles? Well, they are 12 new patriarchs around whom Jesus gathers a new Israel that will experience a new covenant, not through the Passover in Sinai, but through the Eucharist. And Jesus is like a new Moses forming this new Israel around a new covenant. And Our Lady has a key role in that. She who is to give birth has born. She has this necessary role in bringing about the Messiah who will restore the people of Israel. And God loves to do this for his people, loves to restore us. And so as we journey through this valley of tears and often feel like we are in exile, we should remember that our Blessed Mother came to bring us the Messiah who puts an end to our various kinds of exiles. And then we move to the gospel, and we have the reading of the genealogy of our Lord from Matthew 1. This is also read on Christmas Eve Mass. Here we get it as well. And this genealogy is very interesting. We begin reading. It says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David and son of Abraham." That line in itself is full of meaning, because in that one sentence, St. Matthew connects our Lord with three great covenant mediators of the Old Testament. First of all, we have that opening line, the book of the genealogy of. That line occurs only one other place in the Bible, and that's in Genesis 5, verse 1, where the full sentence is, the book of the genealogy of Adam. So obviously, Matthew's setting up a comparison between Adam and Jesus Christ. So the attentive Jewish reader is going to read the book of the genealogy of, and he's going to expect Adam to drop, but instead, Jesus Christ is there. And that suggests then that Jesus is comparable to Adam. He is indeed a second Adam. He's like a new beginning of the human race. And then Jesus is called Son of David, not simply a son of David, but the Son of David. It's being used as a title here. Jesus isn't just any descendant of the royal house. There were hundreds of descendants of the royal house roaming around, but as this genealogy is going to show, Jesus is the heir of the throne and all the promises that were given to David. And also we read the son of Abraham. And again, the same thing, it's used as a title. It's not simply a son of Abraham, but son of Abraham. He's the definitive son of Abraham, the heir to all the covenant promises that were given to Abraham, which included blessing to all the nations. And I should mention the covenant to David promised kingship over all the nations. So Jesus is the one to rule and to bless all the nations. All that is implicit. It's all present in an embryo in that one sentence that begins Matthew's gospel and indeed all of the New Testament. And then we begin to read in Jesus' genealogy here, Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. And then it continues from Solomon all the way down to St. Joseph. Just a little mention here. There's so much in this passage that we could talk about. But in what I've just read, four women have been mentioned. There's Tamar, who was the daughter-in-law of Judah, and she became the mother of Judah's sons from a very sketchy episode that I'm not even going to describe, but you can go read it for yourself. It's adult literature, and that's in Genesis 38. Okay, that was a super sketchy incident right there, and that gave rise to most of the Jews who come from Judah through his daughter-in-law from a little incident that they had together. And then we've got other women. We've got Rahab, who ran a house of ill repute in Jericho. So not only was she a Canaanite, but she was also involved in the world's oldest profession. But she became the mother of Boaz. And then we have Ruth, who was a Moabitess, a Gentile woman who made a play for Boaz in Ruth 3. You can read about that. That's a little bit sketchy, but it all turned out clean in the end, thanks to Boaz's good character. And then we've got the wife of Uriah, who is, of course, Bathsheba, and that's probably the most famous incident of adultery in all of the Bible, back there in 2 Samuel chapter 11. So why mention women at all, which is uncommon in genealogies, and these are not the women that you would expect, which would be like Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. but instead Gentile women typically, and also women with some sketchy background. Well, a lot of things are going on here, but first of all, Matthew is making a contrast between the sketchiness of the royal genealogy of the dynasty that ruled the people of Judah, the Davidic dynasty. There was sin and there was impropriety in their line, and Matthew's going to contrast that with the virginal purity of our Blessed Mother. And then another dynamic is going on here because, of course, the virginal purity of our Blessed Mother wasn't accepted by everybody back in those days, and unpleasant things were suggested as an alternative explanation for how our Lord was born rather than through virginal conception, as you can imagine. And so Matthew is saying, well, if you want to bring up suggestions like that, why don't you look at the history of the royal house, including some of these four matriarchs that are mentioned here, and all that sketchiness, if you're going to throw mud at the birth of Jesus Christ. So that's going on. But also, Matthew is introducing to us Jesus as the Savior of Gentiles and the Savior of sinners. And so he mentions these four women, Gentile sinners, who were saved, as it were, by being incorporated into the line of the Messiah before he came. And so how appropriate then that our Lord is known as one who came to reach out to Gentiles and to sinners in his ministry. And again, in contrast to all of that, we have the purity of our Blessed Mother, who was with child by the Holy Spirit. And of course, the birth of our Lord is recounted at the end of the reading in fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. On this, the feast day of her birth, let's give thanks for the purity of her example. Let's give thanks for her submission to God's will, her willingness to say yes and take on this difficult role as mother and genitrix, perhaps we should say, of the Messiah who comes to restore us from our exiles, who comes out to reach out to us who are Gentiles and sinners and far from God and bring us to salvation. May she pray for us always. Holy Mary, our Mother, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us.
Letters from Home is a production of the St. Paul Center. Our commentators include Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Mr. Rob Corzine, and Dr. James Merrick. Our production team includes producer and technical director Rory Mitrick and sound engineer Joseph Palmer. Subscribe and rate Letters from Home wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-transforming encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, including Dr. Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed, visit stpaulcenter.com.